Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
Taking notes tonight. You can write this down, the title of our conversation. If you want to get into heaven, you got to make sure you take notes in church. You can write this down. The title of our conversation is this: Wow. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Look them in the eyes and say, Wow. Wow. If you're single, sitting next to your crush, you're welcome. Turn to your other neighbor that you just ignored. Say, wow. We're going to talk about something tonight that I want to suggest limits the power of God. I don't know if you know this, but there is something that limits the power of our Almighty God that we serve. It is the reason why, and I've been on both ends of the spectrum, it is the reason why we can be sitting in a church service like this and the presence of God is so apparent. And somebody can be sitting in a service like this and can encounter the presence of our Almighty God. Can hear, can feel the tangible presence of God, and somebody in the same room, a follower of Jesus, can miss the presence of God. The good news is no matter who you are, where you find yourself tonight, how you found yourself being in church tonight, the good news is that God wants to meet with you. Did you know that? Maybe you're new to church, unsure. God is smiling at the fact that you're in his house tonight. That's good news. We're gonna read some Bible, Mark chapter 6. We're gonna take a look at a moment in scripture where I have so often found myself. Jesus started his earthly ministry, and we pick him at verse 6. He left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, verse 2, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Somebody say amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? They're asking this question because this is Jesus' hometown. They grew up with Jesus. They grew up playing Xbox with Jesus. Where did he get this power? Verse 3, then, remember we just read, they were amazed. Verse 3, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. Those are dangerous words. Son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. And then it says this, the Bible says this, they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Amazement lost in one sentence. How often I find myself in church life and I go from being amazed to being offended. You ever been offended in church? Oh, none of y'all? I was offended a couple weeks ago. Verse 4, then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. Because of their unbelief, because of their dishonor, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Verse 6, and he was amazed at their unbelief. It's almost as if honor and faith go hand in hand. Why don't we pray? And then you can stop playing the piano. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you for your presence in this room tonight. God, you are here. And you know every person that is in this room tonight, and you have a plan and a purpose for every person in this room. Holy Spirit of God, I need you tonight. I need your grace. I need your power. I need your authority. God, I'm aware that I am nothing without you. And God, we just pray in unity as your church that the West Coast Eagles are going to win the premiership this year. And everybody said, Everybody said? Who booed? Thank you. What's your name again? Isaac? Did I say that right? Sort of. Everybody give sort of Isaac a hand. I have pet peeves in my life. Not a lot, but I have a few. Anybody have pet peeves in their life? Yeah. I'm going to share some of them with you because I know you so want to know. Is when somebody drives slow in the fast lane. I've almost lost my salvation driving. This is a new pet peeve of mine because I'm a dad. My 6-year-old just started calling me bro. It was cute at first. Not anymore. I don't know if this is the same in Australia, but a pet peeve of mine is when I go to McDonald's, and I go to McDonald's for one reason and one reason only, and that's to get an ice cream sundae. And my pet peeve is when I go through the drive-thru and I ask, can I please have an ice cream sundae? And then they respond and they say, sorry, sir, the ice cream machine isn't working. Is that true here? Another pet peeve I have is when a young adult with no kids tells me that they're tired. You're tired? College student in our church, he looked tired. Bible college student. So I asked him and said, hey, buddy, you doing okay? You look tired. He said, Josh, he's single, no kids. I said, Josh, I am tired. This has been a busy week, and I had to study a little more this week, and I was just behind schedule, and so I had to stay up late last night. I had to study a little longer than usual. I said, oh, let me ask you a question. When you stopped studying and you put your book down, did that book wake up? And did that book start crying? And you had to perfectly hold that book until that book stopped crying? And then when that book stopped crying, you had to perfectly place that book into the bookshelf as to not awake that book again. And then when you went back into your room and you thought that book was asleep and you just are about to doze off, that book started crying again. You're tired. You don't know what tired is. Parents, can I get an amen? Yeah. Maybe my biggest pet peeve, though, is when I'm excited about something. I'm excited about an experience, and somebody's with me, and they don't share the same level of excitement that I do. This happened a couple years ago. My little brother, Sam, he called me, and he lives in Dallas, Texas, in America, and he called me in FaceTime. He's excited. He said, Josh, you're not going to believe it. He said, we won. EJ's his brother-in-law. He said, we won 4 tickets to the Masters Golf Tournament. If you don't know what that is at the top of my bucket list of lifetime experiences. I said, Sam, it's amazing. So EJ, you, me, who's the 4? He said, well, Josh, you're not coming. I said, well, Sam, why did you call me? Did you think that I'd be excited for you to go? Without me? I said, I have to go. So where do you have to go? I said, I got to find another younger brother. Calls me a couple days later. Said, Josh, remember I told you I won tickets to the Masters Golf Tournament? I said, yes, Sam, I remember vividly. He said, well, the good news is Derek, who's coming on the trip, he was coming in your place. He has a friend that lives right by the golf course, and they volunteer, and they have 2 extra tickets. So Josh, you and Dad get to come. I said, Sam, I always knew I loved you. And church, we get to this golf tournament. We get there an hour early before the gates open with thousands of other people ready because we don't want to miss a moment of this experience, sharing the excitement and the anticipation. And you can't bring your phone onto the property, so you leave your phone in the car, and we walk through the security gates. And I know this sounds a bit much, but I got emotional walking in. My tear ducts were activated. And the first place that we go to that they recommend is we go to the gift shop. And Dave Ramsey would be ashamed of how I used my credit card that day. got as much as I could, and then we walk out of the gift shop, we're just walking around, and just, wow, this is amazing. Everything is perfect. The grass is perfect. The workers are perfect. The golf is perfect. The sky is perfect. We go to the food, because it's this famous food, and it's really cheap, and we get the pimento. I don't even like pimento cheese, but we got the pimento cheese. Ice cream sandwich. I still have the trash wrappers in my garage. Davey can attest. We get drinks and we realize that on the cup of the drink is the Master's logo. Wow, it's amazing. And then we noticed that people were throwing away their cups. And so we started going around to all the trash cans and picking up everybody else's cups. I have over 40 cups in my house. We go to the phone booth because, you know, you can't bring your phone into the golf tournament, and people get in, it's like a tradition, people will get in line to use this phone booth. So I get in line, I'm listening to people call their friends, their family, and I'm thinking to myself, who am I gonna call? I get to the phone and I call myself. And I leave myself a voicemail. Josh, it's me, you, we made it! And I started taking myself through the entire day. And then we get to this area of the golf course, it's called Amen Corner, that's my corner, can I get an amen? Watching some of the most world's greatest golfers hit into one of the most famous holes in golf. And then I hear this conversation that has a different tone to every other conversation I heard that day. It's because it was a negative tone. I hear this conversation between these two gentlemen and they are complaining about their experience at the Masters Golf Tournament. Talking about how this is their 15th year at the Masters Golf Tournament and this year they only got to go on a practice round day. I'm thinking to myself, 15 years! In a row that you get to go, it starts to rain. They start complaining about the rain. I want to bottle up the rain and get baptized in this rain. I wanted to righteously rebuke. How could you lose your wonder for this property, for this golf tournament? And before I could say anything, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me at the Masters Golf Tournament, said, Josh, that's true and this place is awesome, but how often have you lost your awe and your wonder for Jesus and the power of the cross and his presence in the church? How often I go from being amazed to being complacent? Where at one point I used to drive to church, and our church back home, we have young people at the front, they hold signs that they say, welcome. Wow, there's young people at this church, and they're holding signs welcoming me. Driving the parking lot, wow, there's a parking team, and they're wearing vests, so I know they're on the parking team. Show me where to park. I walk inside the church, there's greeters smiling. Look how many people are in this lobby. Walk into the church service, there's a usher team, wow. Show me where I can sit. The worship starts, wow. What is this song? Is this Oceans? Do you have goosebumps? I have goosebumps. Comes time to give, wow. This church has vision. This church is generous. Comes to the preaching of the word, wow. Preaching the truth of the word of God. It comes time for the altar call, wow. Can you feel the faith in the room? People making decisions to follow Jesus. If they're not careful, I'd have been here where it doesn't take long where I pull into that same church parking lot. I see those young people, those stupid kids. Not even holding the sign right. Oh, here's the parking team. Let me guess, you're gonna tell me to park all the way over there. Walk into that same church building. Ah, there's too many people. I liked it better when there was less people, less busy. Walking to the same auditorium. Excuse me, usher, don't you know that's my seat over there? The worship starts. Okay, worship team, let's see what you have. You better give me goosebumps today. Comes time to give. Here they are. There's a church. All they do is talk about money. Comes time for the preacher of the word. Let's see what you have, preacher. I've had a tough week. You better make me feel good. Comes time for the altar call. Church, I've been here. Comes time for the altar call. Come on, let's hurry it up. I've got somewhere to be. Church, it concerns me how often and how easy it is for me to lose my wonder for Jesus and his church. And in case you're unaware, God is doing something in this church. God is up to something in this church. This isn't normal. On a Friday night, people in God's house, God is moving in this church. And if we aren't careful, we can take for granted what God is doing. So how is it that we so quickly lose our amazement, our wonder, our wow? I want to suggest, Scripture shows us, the issue is not God, it's not Jesus, it's not the music set list, it's not the translation of your Bible, it's not your pastor. I want to suggest the issue is dishonor. I allow dishonor to creep into my life. What is dishonor? My favorite definition is this. Dishonor is becoming overfamiliar. Treating something that is worthy as something that is normal. This is exactly what we find here in Mark chapter 6. Jesus' hometown says this to the Son of God. He's just a carpenter. Jesus' hometown, they give us a startling example of dishonor, being overfamiliar. And they show us a couple things. Number one, they show us this. Jesus has a pet peeve, and it's dishonor. Second thing that they show us is the longer we are around something, the greater we are at risk for becoming overfamiliar. Yeah. You ever notice the longer you're in church, the easier it is to critique? Yeah. The longer you're in a relationship. When you were dating and your girlfriend would warn you of that car 4 miles away. Oh, sweetie, you're so cute. Thank you. 10 years into marriage, if we're not careful, it's not as cute as it used to be. The longer we are around something, the more intentional we must be to keep our wonder. Number three, dishonor limits the power of God. That's what the Bible shows us. Dishonor limits the power of God. Where there is dishonor, Jesus won't move. Wow. Look what the Bible says. He was only able to pray for a few people. Yeah. I wonder how often God wanted to move in my life. How often God wanted to do more in my life, more in my church, more in our church. But dishonor got in the way. Look at Jesus' hometown. They are face to face with the Son of God. Yeah. And they miss out on Jesus doing more because they were over familiar. Yeah. Here's the thing, I believe this, that there is no greater time to be alive as a human being. Yeah. I believe there's no greater time to be a Christian. And there is no greater time to be the church. Yeah. I believe God has positioned and is using his church in a unique, fresh way. Yeah. In the strongest way that it has been in history. I really believe that. Can I get an amen? Amen? And I don't want to miss out. Church, I don't want us to miss out on what God is doing in his church. And he's not looking for a perfect church. He's simply looking for one that will honor him, that is in awe of him. And so I wonder and I ask the question, are we still in awe and wonder of Jesus? Of the cross, the power of the resurrection in our lives. Are we still in awe of his church? Do we still pray like we used to? Do we still worship like we used to? Do we still get to church early like we used to? Do we still serve in God's house like we used to? Do we still give like we used to? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So maybe the greatest threat to the church isn't what we think it is. Maybe the greatest threat to the church is overfamiliar Christians. Christians who have lost their wow. And church, I have been here. The enemy knows this. If he cannot get us to turn from God, he will do everything he can to chip away at our awe and wonder. So we find ourselves in a place of complacency, over familiar, Because he knows if we find ourselves in this place, it limits the power of God. Maybe a practical question for us to ask is, where have we become overfamiliar with Jesus? With his presence, with worship, with his word, with repentance? Have we become complacent with sin? Maybe on a more practical level, have we become over familiar with our spouse? This gift that God has given us. Over familiar with the call of God to raise children, young warriors for the kingdom. Have we become over familiar with our job that we once prayed for, that God opened doors that only he could open? Have we become over familiar with the relationships, with the friendships that God has put in our lives? Problem with dishonor is this: it is a thief, and it steals your appreciation, your passion, and our holy wonder. And so if I'm the devil, I would try to steal your passion and your appreciation from the very thing that defeats me as the devil. The Bible shows us clearly what defeats him. Revelation 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The Bible also says the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. So if there's anything that the devil wants us as followers of Jesus to become over familiar with, it's his presence, it's his church, it's the word of God, and it's your testimony. And church, I've been there where I've become, as a pastor, over familiar with Jesus, with his presence, with the church, with the word of God. But I want to focus on the third one, because I think so often we forget the power of our story. So often we forget this weapon that we have in the kingdom of God, your testimony of how Jesus saved you. Can I get an amen? You ever notice you can't share with passion about something that you're indifferent about? I went to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago. I thought it was going to be awesome. It wasn't. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. And so it was just whatever. And so if you were to ask me my thoughts on the Spy Museum, they would not be, "Oh, the Spy Museum. I mean, it's not great and it's not terrible, but man, sure, if you want to go, it's whatever." But if you were to ask me about my experience at the Masters Golf Tournament, I'd sit you down and make sure you had 20 minutes minimum for me to share my passion and excitement and experience that I have. How much more, as followers of Jesus, should we have a passion and excitement to share how Jesus found me in my sin and my shame? I was dead to my sin, and Jesus gave me hope and a plan and a purpose for my life. He saved me and he called me. How much more? How much more should we have for sharing our story? When was the last time you shared your story? Think about that. When was the last time you shared your story? How Jesus saved you. The enemy does not want you to share your story with passion. As we close, the band can come on up. If you're here tonight and you've lost, as a follower of Jesus, you've lost your awe, your wonder for Jesus, what he's done in your life. It's time to go over his story again. The Bible gives us instruction. And I've had to do this many times in my life. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Something so simple, and yet how often I complicate this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Study how Jesus did it. I wonder, have you studied how Jesus did it? Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. That's the type of disciple I want to be. I don't know that I'm there yet. But I want to be the type of disciple where I can put up with anything along the way. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And the Bible says this, when you find yourselves, here it is, flagging in your faith. You've lost your wonder. Maybe that's you tonight. The Bible says this, go over that story again. Item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through, and then watch this, the Bible says that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. What is that story? Church, what is that story? It is the story, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus gave up his royal status and came into earth as a baby, a dirty manger. Jesus, fully man and fully God, took on our status as humanity, grew up and lived the perfect life that you and I are incapable of living. It's the story of Jesus that was betrayed by his own disciples. It's the story of Jesus as he was arrested, he remained silent in court. It's the story of Jesus that remained silent as Barabbas, a murderer, was let free. How often I read that moment in scripture and I forget that Barabbas is me. It was me that deserved the cross, and yet Jesus took my place. It is the story of Jesus. Crown of thorns were crushed into his skull. It's the story of Jesus who was beaten. The Bible says beaten beyond the point of being recognized as a human being. It is the story of Jesus who dragged that cross, who was nailed to that cross. The cross that was meant for me. It is the story of Jesus who suffocated on that cross, who died on that cross. And for 3 days, the devil thought that he had won. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating the devil, defeating sin, defeating who I used to be. And he didn't come up empty-handed. He came with the keys of death. It is the story of Jesus that rescued you and rescued me, that has saved you and called you. That is the story of Jesus, friend.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us, and special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus, both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.